Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey, it's another beautiful sunny day. The great news is we love the president, but he's leaving at 1 o'clock. He's leaving New York, so it's a traffic nightmare in Midtown when he's here. So he's got a couple of things. There's a fundraiser, breakfast, there's one of those UN meet and greets, and then he's out of here at 1 o'clock. And have you been around Trump Tower in the last 3 or 4 days?
I have not been on the east side, thank God.
Well, that's actually Midtown, right? Okay, in the middle. Yeah. But the east side has been bad, too. Last night he went to a couple of things on the Upper East Side causing massive street closing. But if you've been around Trump Tower in the last few days, every street around it is closed to traffic. They have parked, I'd say 20 big, enormous trucks filled with sand, like big garbage trucks filled with sand.
Right, yeah.
All around Trump Tower. You know, it's a beautiful building. It's Fifth Avenue. There's Tiffany. Imagine your Tiffany, Gucci's on the other side. You got 1,000 dump trucks parked in front of your building.
What a sight.
It's a mess. So he's leaving today. That'll free up things a little in Midtown. But the UN stuff goes into next week. So it'll still be a mess over on the east side and around some of those hotels. So this is going to be one of the greatest periods ever this next few months. This is going to be great. I'm so happy to watch this. Now, here's a couple of things going on. The transcript has been released. And as predicted, the media is lying. CNN doctored the transcript when they put it up on the screen. They had it read, "Can I ask you a favor?" You look into Joe Biden. Well, it's not at all what happened. The "Can I ask you a favor?" was followed by a whole discussion about tampering with the 2016 election. Later at the end, he throws in Joe Biden. But the favor, the point of what he was asking, was an investigation into tampering with the 2016 election. Back then, remember the DNC server was hacked, Hillary was hacked. They brought in this questionable company, CrowdStrike, to take a look at it. And something went on there with the server. The DNC and Hillary hired CrowdStrike to do the look at it, and then they wouldn't show anything to anybody. The FBI asked to see the server. They wouldn't show it to him. So something happened there, and it was always rumored that it came out of the Ukraine. So that's why the president was asking him to see if he could find out all that stuff. He says in the conversation they believe that Mueller was a poor performance by Mueller, that Mueller was a bit incompetent. And also remember, Mueller didn't do the investigation. He had hired these Democratic Hillary people to do it. So, of course, they didn't look at that. It never got looked at. So that actually makes sense for the president to ask for that.
Yeah, okay.
Since it's an important part of whether there was tampering in 2016, and it's the one area the Mueller team deliberately ignored. So it was good that he asked for that. If you're asking for an investigation into the 2016 tampering, how is that a crime? Haven't Democrats been doing that every day for 2 years?
Well, I think it's the Biden issue that's got everybody.
Now here's the problem. This is where the president got himself into big trouble, and he's in big trouble for this. This is the biggest violation of Washington law. Republicans will not defend him on this one because every one of them, Democrat, Republican, everybody in Congress has all of them have relatives that are put on the payrolls of big companies in exchange for influence. Every one of them, either their wife or their son or their cousin or their uncle or their brother is on the payroll of some company for lots of money. And they do not want anybody looking at that stuff. That's where the president hit the third rail. You might say to yourself, Republicans have Senate committees. They've got an intelligence committee. They've got a judiciary committee. Why don't they put Biden under oath and make him testify about this? Because every one of them's got relatives on the payroll somewhere. Everybody. You know, you wonder. You see these guys get elected, these Harry Reids, they're making $100,000 a year. They leave, they're worth $50 million. They all have relatives on the payroll. Now, let's look at this Hunter Biden situation. You watched Jimmy Kimmel had Biden on last night?
Yeah.
Laughing and joking, mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong, he's a wonderful guy. You ever watch when they have these candidates on, Elizabeth Warren on Colbert? They just kiss them and hug them and fawn all over them. Well, all of a sudden, Trump is on. They scream and curse and throw things at him. Why the double standard? Well, that's pretty obvious. But Kimmel never brought up anything about Biden's son. Now, here's how all this works. The whole Washington swamp, all the politicians, all the media believe that we are really stupid and that we're supposed to think that a Ukrainian energy company just decided to hire Hunter Biden, a total incompetent with absolutely no experience, and his starting salary was $50,000 a month. You're supposed to think it just happened.
Yeah. One thing had nothing to do with the other.
Biden at the time was the vice president of the United States, and Obama had decided that Biden would be the guy responsible for dealings with Ukraine. He put him in charge of Ukraine. And the next thing you know, the Ukraine energy company puts Hunter Biden on the payroll for $50,000 a month. You're supposed to think, what a coincidence.
Nothing wrong.
Now, Hunter Biden, in case you're not familiar with him, he's a drug addict. He was thrown out of the military for use of cocaine. He was pulled over by the police for, I think it was speeding or something, but they found in his car a crack pipe, multiple driver's licenses, and a badge. He was sleeping with his brother's widow. Should we go on?
No, that's good credentials to be on.
Thrown out of school. So, Biden is also dealing with China as vice president. He takes Hunter over there. Hunter started a little hedge fund. He'd never done this before, but first time amateur hedge fund. Chinese decided to give him $1.5 billion for the hedge fund. Now you're saying, how could an amateur start a hedge? Well, he had partners. He had Whitey Bulger's son, and he had John Kerry's son.
Oh, man.
Kerry was the Secretary of State at the time.
Uh-huh.
So you're supposed to think, this has nothing to do with the other stuff. So that's what this is all about. Trump is, I don't know if he meant to, but boy, did he step on a third rail. He has started to expose this stuff. And all of them have relatives on the payroll somewhere. That's how it works. You know, when you hear these guys, it's you can't go to Washington and live on a $100,000 salary.
That's right, yeah.
It's tough. Of course, the wife is on somebody's payroll now for $50,000 a month. So that helps with rent. And then the cousin is on somebody's payroll for $1 million. And then someone, your brother gets a consulting fee of $1 million. So that's how that works. So now here's the...
I think Trump has a problem with this one here.
Why?
This is a little more serious.
But what do you find in there that's serious?
I think the attempt to hide the conversation is going to hurt him the most.
Yeah, I don't know if you can make much out of that. The big thing they're bringing up today is that they moved it off the original server and put it onto a very highly secured server. But you could argue that once there was a whistleblower complaint, not a bad thing. It's not like they tried to hide it or destroy it. In fact, they put it on a server that's considered the most secure server for classified documents. So that's the one server that you would think would be the safest place to store something.
Well, if you look at it that way.
Oh.
As opposed to not putting it there so no one can see it.
Well, you could argue that the Senate or the Congress did the same thing yesterday when they got the whistleblower complaint. They finally got the complaint. They didn't just print it up on the copy machine and here it is on the desk. They put it in what's called a SCIF. There are two SCIFs in the Capitol. Let's call it stand for something. Secured, compartmentalized. So it's for the most secret documents. It's a secure room where no cell phone, nothing is allowed to be brought in there. And if you want to read the complaint, they put it in the SCIF. You one at a time, you can come in and read it in there in the secure facility. So you could argue, oh, they're trying to hide it, putting it in that secure place. I don't think putting it in, at that point, the whistleblower complaint was possibly the subject of an investigation. Moving it to the most secure server. But again, it's like this, oh, it's obstruction. Obstruction of what? You didn't do anything wrong.
Look, and I think it should have been executive privilege. I mean, the president's conversation with a foreign leader should remain secret.
Yeah. Now, this releasing of a conversation with a foreign leader has never been done before. It's unheard of. In this case, they asked the Ukraine president for approval. He okayed it. But it's never been done before. You know, even to have the director of national intelligence come testify before Congress, that's never been done in public. That's always in private. It's always private. So, but this is Schiff playing games. Did you see these Schiff with all his...
I had the opportunity, as have members of the committee, to read the whistle...
Oh, I can't listen to this guy. Did you see the one where he said he was sounding like a mafia don?
Oh, yeah, right.
You do us a favor, you do... It didn't sound like a mafia don at all, did it?
No, not like a mafia don, but, you know, there's that code word, hey, can you do me a favor?
Yeah. It didn't say that. He said, could you do us a favor? And then the favor he asked for, this is where they're all conning you. He never asked about Biden. That was later, much later in the conversation. The favor he then asked for is, could you look into the 2016 election and see if there was any tampering coming out of the Ukraine? And he mentions CrowdStrike, the DNC server, that sort of stuff.
He did do that first. And, you know, it was, oh, by the way, Biden.
And he,
do you know have anything about
Biden? Biden's at the end.
Yeah, that's right.
At the end. He throws that in as a little extra at the end. But he really goes into some detail. He says, I don't know if you know this man, Robert Mueller. He gave a very poor performance, and we'd like you to look into it. So, and that's what Democrats have been asking. If you check my Twitter, you can read the letter. Last year, a major Democrat sent a letter to the same president of Ukraine demanding that he do this and threatening him with losing aid if he didn't do it. It's in writing.
How dare the president do that then?
Yeah. Why aren't they being called to testify? Menendez was one of the senators. I forget the rest of them. All major Democratic senators.
I've seen him. The issue is, Biden was a political opponent. He's trying to use the resources of a foreign government to get dirt on his political opponent. That's the basis, I think, of this issue.
Why didn't he just call Christopher Steele? Hillary's not using him anymore. Why didn't he get one of those Russian fake dossiers? First of all, by telling you that he's getting dirt on his opponent, they're admitting Biden's dirty. They're admitting there's dirt to be gotten. I don't know. How could you be in trouble for asking for a thorough investigation? Now, think
about
this.
That's an abuse of power.
Biden is on video saying, I killed the investigation. I got the prosecutor fired. I stopped them. No trouble. But if you call up somebody and say, we'd like a thorough investigation, that's bad. That's terrible.
The other issue that has been raised is that he was attempting to involve the Attorney General, the Justice Department, in that investigation alongside a foreign government, which is
not really
kosher.
Here's where they have a problem, the Democrats. They'll never win this fight because he wasn't doing anything wrong. Everything he did was basically moral, ethical. I mean, as long as you're asking for an investigation, you're on the right side. Anytime you're asking a kill investigation is where you have a problem. He's the chief law enforcement officer of the United States. If anybody tampered with the 2016 election, I think we could agree that would be what we consider a crime of some kind. Mm-hmm. So he's investigating a crime, and if you're the chief law enforcement officer, the president, and you're investigating a big crime, who would you bring in on this? The Secretary of Agriculture? I think you'd go to the Attorney General.
I don't know about presidential protocol and boundaries and things like that, but as somebody said, Trump doesn't pay attention to the presidential guardrails. He goes wherever he wants.
And his mistake, and I'm telling you again, just keep remembering this. The mistake was everybody in Washington, every senator, every congressman, every Republican, every Democrat puts relatives on the payroll of some big company. They don't want this disturbed. They don't like the spotlight on this. In fact, I will bet you that somebody is telling him this in his ear, or when he gets back to Washington tonight, or somebody on the phone, some Lindsey Graham type or somebody is actually saying to him, what are you, nuts? Everybody's got people on the payroll. What were you thinking? Now, here's the real plot. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember about a year and a half ago, I told you that what they were thinking, they talked about this back then, was to come up with an impeachment of Trump and Biden. Remember I talked about that a long time, a year ago? Impeach both of them. Find something where you can get them both in the same impeachment, Trump and Pence. Trump and Pence.
You're right, yeah.
Trump and Pence. You impeach them together. They're both out. That way, the next thing in line is the Speaker of the House. That doesn't mean Pelosi. Here was the plot they talked about. They've discussed this. I know a year ago they were talking about this. If you knock out Pence and Trump in an impeachment, the Speaker of the House becomes the president, and they can elect anybody that they want as Speaker of the House. Anybody.
That's true, yeah.
It doesn't have to be a sitting congressman. It can be anybody. They could elect Stephen Colbert, Speaker of the House, anybody they want. So they could pick any of the candidates. They could make Elizabeth Warren Speaker of the House. They could make Biden Speaker of the House. I mean, they'd have to know that they were so far along in this impeachment that it was going to work, and that they were both going to be impeached and out, and then like a week before, elect somebody, whoever they want as president, as Speaker of the House. Then that person would automatically become president.
There's a lot of chatter about that on social media because Trump said he did order Pence to go to the Ukraine and talk to these guys about this.
Yeah.
So he's done the same thing as Trump has done.
Yeah. But maybe you remember, it was about a year and a half ago I told you they were thinking this. So they finally came up with something where they could get both. And the social media chatter, although it says trying to make Pelosi the president.
Right, yeah.
They wouldn't do it. The original plot was at the last moment, just before they need to act, they would elect somebody else Speaker of the House, whoever they choose to be their president. I don't think it would be Biden. I think they've realized Biden is a little dangerous for them. They're not safe with Biden around. He's a little too shaky for this.
You think it would be Warren?
I don't know. They'll pick somebody. Somebody they all like. But again, they can elect anybody Speaker of the House. Does not have to be anybody in Congress. Anybody.
You sure about that? Yeah. I thought it has to be a member of the House.
No, I don't think so. Check it out. See if that's correct. But that was the original plot. Then you see, like on CNN, they'll say, even Republicans are against the president. They bring in Mitt Romney, the slimiest swamp snake who only got himself elected into the Senate to lead the opposition to President Trump, to lead the swamp opposition. Why? Because he think if Trump's ever out, the swamp will reward him with the presidency.
Well, right, yeah.
Which doesn't work that way. Once you've served your purpose, they toss you away. Ask Michael Avenatti, ask G. Amoroso. Once they're done with you, they're done with you. Anyway, we'll take some calls in a minute. We got lots to get to. Oh, Al Franken news. He's going to make his comeback. Wait till you hear how. We'll get to that coming up. The film The Irishman, the new Scorsese film. We got some more scenes. You saw the original trailer. Here's more. Here's some additional scenes. We got that up on the webpage. Hey, this Ukraine president, boy, is he an interesting guy. He was a comedian who got elected president. Watch this little video. It'll show you how he did it, how he won in the debates. He was kind of Trump-like in the debates. Watch the clips. And then here's an interesting comparison. Here's the Republicans and Democrats, what they had to say during the Clinton impeachment and what they're saying now. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark. Mr. New York, Mark Simone. On 710WOR.
Well, let's take some calls. Let's go to Jack in Boston. Hey, Jack.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
I always listen to you online, but I'm in New York now, even though I'm from Boston. I'm in New York now listening to you. I do a lot of traveling between Boston and New York. And
what are you, a smuggler or something? What do you do?
Something like that, yeah. No, it's just business and relatives I visit. Oh. 2 points I want to make, Mark. Number one, it's still 14 months away from the election. I tell people, you think it's bad now against Trump. You haven't seen anything yet. I guarantee you, Mark, 2 or 3 months before the election, they're going to come up with some bimbo who's going to say he raped her when she was 14 or something is bad. You watch. It's still 14 months. You know, these things pass. People forget the emotion of the whole thing. It's just unbelievable what they're trying to do. And this Ukraine thing is absurd. It's absolute. If you remember, I came up with the word finally to describe what the Democrats have done. The word is evil. Who would you or me or Joe Bartlett try to ruin a good man's life like Justice Kavanaugh? Ruin his life with all lies, 100% lies, unless you were evil.
Well, I would do that. I don't think Joe Bartlett would do it, but no, I understand what you're saying. It's a good point.
Mark.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Thanks, thanks, Jack, for calling. Good point. Yeah, this is just the beginning. You're right. You're right. You Democrats, if you're listening, there have only been 3 cases in modern times where you got a president out after one term. It happened with Carter, Bush Sr., and Ford. Now, you can get a president out after one term. It could happen. But all 3 had one thing in common, a disastrous economy. That's the only time people get knocked out after one term, disastrous economy. There's one other thing they all had in common. The opponent who showed up always ran a positive campaign, an uplifting positive campaign, and never mentioned the other side, as in the case of Clinton. And when Carter ran, it was never about Nixon. It was about uplifting, positive. So if you want to beat Trump, there's a way to do it. You'd have to have a great candidate who inspires people, who attracts people with something they want. It's not about what, you know, how much you should hate this guy. It's that you have to have something people want to get them to vote for you. Now, the problem is Trump's got an amazing economy going. Highest stock market ever, best unemployment numbers ever. So it's really tough. What could you come up with better than that? So that's the problem. You could go back to your praying for a recession stuff. I don't know.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is about Trump. I mean, I think there are people who just getting tired of his behavior. Even people who support him, it's like, oh, come on, another one of these things?
Nah.
Can't you just...
That's around here. That's the tri-city.
I don't know.
You know, I've also noticed you got another phenomenon going on. The Democrats are getting more of that than the Republicans. I've noticed a lot of Trump haters over the last year coming around now saying, you know what, these Democrats are crazy. They're just off the wall.
Well, they think they have something here.
Yeah. This is a bombshell. Every time you hear the word bombshell, whistleblower, and nobody's gonna even think about this a month from now. Just forget about it. This is a big story. I heard you do it earlier. This is bad. I keep telling you, these politicians here are pickpockets. De Blasio, Cuomo, the city council, they are just staying up nights trying to figure out how to rob you, how to steal your money. Now, what were these latest increases?
$1 raising a cash toll at the Port Authority crossings, $16.
Okay, it's $15 to cross the bridge. They're saying, that's so cheap, $15 to cross a bridge.
Yes.
Let's make it $16. But this is the one that's really galling. What is the airport charge?
$4 to have a cab drop you off or pick you up.
So that's $8, because I assume you're going to use the car both ways.
Yeah.
Now, just I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's say you call an Uber. How much would an Uber be to go to the airport?
Depends on where you're going.
So the airport's got to be a lot of money, right?
Say $40-$50.
Okay, it's $50. There's already a tax on the Uber. They're taxing your Uber ride already. And it's a big tax. It's not 50 cents.
Yeah.
It's like a $5, $10 tax.
And you have tolls, too.
Yeah. I just want you to think about this. You hire an Uber to go to the airport. There's already like a $10 tax somewhere in there just on the ride. Then there's probably $10 in tolls. They've already taxed your Uber ride. Now when you get there, this is how bad they are. Let's say you get there and you'd like to get out of the car. That's $4. Now let's say you want the Uber to pick you up at the airport. There's a $10 tax on that Uber. I don't know what the number is, but it's something like that. It's like a $10 tax. Now the Uber gets there. He pulls up. Now let's say you'd like to get in the car. $4. How could they do that?
They're going to do it.
These crooks have got to be stopped. This is Cuomo. This is de Blasio. This is the state legislature, the city council. They just tax you to death.
And if you come from below 60th Street, there will be congestion fee.
Then there'll be congestion fees. There'll be like 9,000 taxes of $1 billion just because you wanted to come home from the airport. You know, it's like when you go get, you ever get gas and it's $4 a gallon or whatever, $3.50, and you go, why is it so much for gas? I don't know if you know this, but the oil company, the gas company, they get about 7 cents of that. The rest is all taxes and fees. That's absolutely a fact. This has got to stop. They're just pickpockets, these people. Well, when we come back, Howie Carr will be with us. One of Hunter Biden's partners was Whitey Bulger's son. We have the Whitey Bulger expert of the world coming up next.
Mark Simone on the Voice of New York, 710 WOR.
Well, Howie Carr is one of the great talk show hosts in America, best-selling author, columnist. You know, you can go to HowieCarrShow.com. You can get his own show, but you can also get this great new podcast, Dirty Rats. You can also get it wherever you get podcasts. Howie Carr, how you doing?
Very good. I'm watching this this hearing today. It's pretty distressing how disingenuous, how duplicitous these Democrats are. It's really amazing how ridiculous this whole thing is. I mean, this is worse than Russian collusion, I think. There's less here than Russian collusion.
Well, would you agree that the real whistleblower is Donald Trump, and the problem is he stepped on a third rail? All these congressmen and women have relatives on the payroll of some company. They don't want this being looked at.
I agree. I said that on my own show, Mark. You know, I mean, whatever happened to all these signs you see on the subway and on buses that say if you see something, say something. So he saw something, and they're telling us that you know, they said there was a big smoking gun. Now they released it. Now they're saying, well, you have to read between the lines. So in other words, then, Mark, we're being told that what Trump didn't say, you have to know what he meant, but what Joe Biden did say and what you've seen on video, he didn't really mean. I don't get it. You know, I mean, how can they present this with a straight face? And who do they think they're convincing with this? This is ridiculous. They made up the story that the DNI, the director of national intelligence, was going to quit. That was a fake news story designed so that Shep Smith and Napolitano could go crazy yesterday afternoon for about 10 minutes. Then that story gets totally blown up. I mean, they released this thing, and you read through this complaint, and it's all hearsay. I mean, you couldn't, if you call 911 with this kind of complaint, that's humor you a little bit because they know they're on a recorded line, but how can you proceed with any of this stuff? There's nothing here you can use in court. And even if, you know, even if the what he said was true, I mean, you know, McGuire, I just heard him say in his opening statement, the president is not covered. He's not a member of the intelligence community. He's the CEO. I mean, this guy has no. I mean, even if he had heard it firsthand, the whistleblower complaint would be null and void. It's moot. This is ridiculous. But they're just trying to gin up their base. You know, I mean, they're crazy base, and these insane people. Now it's Jackie Speier from California. I think she unsuccessfully ran for the Senate a few years ago. I thought we were rid of her, but I guess she got her House seat back, and so now she's bothering people.
Rudy Giuliani starts revealing Hunter Biden's partners with Whitey Bulger's son. You are the Whitey Bulger expert of the world.
Whitey Bulger's nephew.
But
his namesake. It's really weird. It's James Bulger. You know, I didn't even know this. You know, I had thought that they were mixing him up. There are several James Bulgers in the world. You know, there was one in the UK who got murdered. I didn't think it was the same one, but I looked him up. It's definitely the same guy. He went to Suffolk University in Boston. He looks like Billy Bulger. He's got the same name as Whitey Bulger. I don't know. I asked Joe DeGeneva about it. He thinks he was brought in probably through John Kerry's stepson. But I don't know who this guy is, James Bulger. You know, I thought they all had public jobs, you know. I mean, I'm surprised that one of them's in the private sector, although it seems to be in more like the private sector that the uncle was involved in, you know. So I don't know what's going on. You know, the thing is, too, and he's talking, this whistleblower is talking about Rudy Giuliani as a central figure in this. Well, that was no secret, you know. I mean, we all knew that Rudy was going to Ukraine, and then he canceled the trip. I mean, I remember having him on the show right after it happened, and I asked him, I said, why aren't you going to Ukraine to investigate what's been going on over there? And he said, oh, I thought it was a setup. You know, so I mean, this whistleblower is just he's got hearsay and warmed over rehashed press clippings here, and they're treating it like it's the Teapot Dome scandal or something. I don't know, but I guess it's predictable, but it's just it's rather ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, Howie Carr, you have covered more trials, more of this stuff than anybody. I know Nixon got in trouble for covering up, stopping the investigation. Have you ever heard of somebody getting in trouble for asking for an investigation?
Right. I know. That's what I mean. He was the whistleblower. And, you know, it's not like he's saying that, I've hired this secret group and I'm laundering the money through the law firm to some crooked ex-reporters, to a crooked ex-British secret agent, alleged. And then he's calling his Russian friends. Trump wasn't doing it like Hillary Clinton was doing it. He'd watch Biden on TV. you know, bragging about this. And he says, it's pretty horrible. It sounds pretty horrible to me. Can you look into this? I mean, that's all he was saying. I mean, and this whole thing about, you know, Schiff and then Blumenthal and then Andrea Mitchell, the Emmy Award-winning reporter, Hillary Clinton's favorite reporter, talking about how this is like mafia shakedowns and all this. Well, how is it like a mafia shakedown? I mean, the guy is sucking up. Zelensky is sucking up to Trump. I mean, he's saying, I like to go to your hotels. They're great hotels. You know, look, if a mob guy wants to get something, you're right, I've covered all these trials, I've seen them staring at me and all this stuff, you know, they tell you, you know, they want something, they tell you they're going to stick your hand in the toaster, they put the machine gun under the table. I was just looking at one for a future podcast about a guy who was shaken down. Why'd he put the machine gun under the table and say, you better go to Switzerland and give me the $250,000? I mean, there was none of that in this conversation. It was a pro forma congratulatory call, and he said, you know, can you help us out? And, you know, it's such a mafia shakedown. He says, can you work with the Attorney General of the United States on this thing?
There's a line in the transcript where he says, how am I funny looking? A clown? I amuse you?
Yeah, I know. Whitey Bulger used to say, you know, this guy wanted to leave the bookmaking business, and the guy said, I want to get into a new line of work. And, you know, Whitey said, really? He said, you know, we have multiple lines of work, too. You know, we're not just in the extortion business. The guy said, what else do you do? And Whitey says, we kill people. Okay? Now, that's a threat. That's a threat.
Hey,
saying, can you help me out on this? Because it looks really bad. That's not a threat. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This brings up your podcast, Dirty Rats. If you love all this stuff, these are really good, Dirty Rats. Where do people go to get that?
Yeah, they just go anywhere you get podcasts, Dirty Rats, or you can just go to dirtyratspodcast.com or go to my show, my website, howiecarshow.com, and it's right there. And we got another one up about Billy Bulger, the son of the father of James Bulger, the guy who's now in business with Hunter Biden and John Kerry's stepson. And he was testified before the House committee, and he actually told the House committee, 15 years ago that he thought Whitey would be murdered when the FBI picked him up. And it took a while, but, you know, it's an eerily prescient statement by Billy Bulger, and you can get it right now. It's episode 7 of Dirty Rats podcast. I think people will really enjoy it.
These are really good podcasts. Hey, you got some actual, you can hear Whitey Bulger in his own voice. Really good podcast, Dirty Rats. Go get those and go to howiecarshow.com. You can get everything else there. Howie Carr, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Take care. Oh, and everybody check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. Hey, speaking of all this stuff, the new Scorsese film, The Irishman, we've got some more scenes. There was the original trailer. Now here's some more scenes from the film. Take a look at it. It's up on the webpage. Also, this Ukraine president, boy, he's an interesting guy. He was a comedian, stand-up comedian, TV host, and he got elected. And he did it kind of like Trump. Watch this video of how he got elected. Things he said in the debates, it's interesting. And then here's some good video. This is all the Democrats and Republicans talking about the impeachment of Clinton and the impeachment now. Watch this little then and now video. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/.